This is your NFL preview show with NFL legend Eric Weddle. Presented by Cypress Credit Union with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is time once again to catch up with Ute legend, NFL great, Eric Weddle, and apparently a man who knows how to pick some games, too. Eric, how are you?
I'm just sitting back. You know, it's one thing to be semi-good at what you do as a living, but it's even better to know mentally on another level than all you mere mortals. So it's a great day. It's a great day.
All right, well, let's just set the scene here, though. It is really hard in six NFL games to go 5-1. And by the way, the game that you missed, it was the Bucs 8.5, and they won by 8. So you're only a half point away from going 6-0.
I can't believe you missed that one, Eric. Come on, man.
Unbelievable.
Well, all three of us missed that one.
Oh, did we?
So bad.
Well, I know I did.
Well, so it's really hard to go 5-1. On the flip side, it actually is also pretty hard to pick six games and to miss all six games.
I don't know if that's humanly – you can randomly, like, close your eyes and pick between one team or the other and be better than 0-6.
Hold on. I'm not going to lie, guys. I actually thought we were trying to pick the losers of this. I thought we were trying to pick the flip side of it. I'm confused by Vegas lines.
Some reverse survival pool you got going on here.
Can you walk me through what a Vegas line means? I don't know if I knew exactly what competition I was involved in. So
can we go through the games real quick just so our viewers understand how great some picks were and how historically awful, never pick a game ever in life pick were?
Yeah, we could do it, Eric. So let's start with your picks. So Eric took the Colts plus 6.5. The Colts end up losing that game 27-24. Eric nailed it inside that 3-point that 3-point margin. Well, the 6.5-point margin.
Yeah, I also said, by the way, just because this is the only time I get a brag today,
okay,
that the Colts would cover but also lose the game.
So you did hit that one perfectly,
yeah,
Scotty, which is tough to do right there.
And now I'm done, Eric, because I've got nothing else.
Eric took the Rams and the plus 3.5, and I also want to mention that Eric took the Rams plus 3.5, who were underdogs, and the win. The Rams beat the Seahawks 30-20. Is that the one you're most proud of? Is that the pick you're most proud of out of these six, Eric?
I mean, what they dealt with, that was an impressive performance. You know, and I mean, who in their right mind was expecting Washington to play as well as they did with their third string quarterback?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
this is what we talk about, guys. Like, You can't tell me that you're on that staff and you watch this kid play. He throws the ball better, looks better than anybody on that team. And it took a playoff game to finally get him on the field. Like, how does this happen? It happens all the time. You have a guy that is completely better than the other guys and you don't play him. I mean, that corner around the end zone, I mean, you could probably put five guys in the entire NFL can make that throw, especially in that moment. Like, it just drives me insane, these managements and coach and staff, like, organizationally. How do they not know offensive talent? It's just crazy.
Does it happen in all positions where you're looking at a team and you're practicing with these guys and you're like, hey, this guy here, he's better than the guy you're playing. Why are you not playing him? I mean, it sounds like it happens all the time.
It does. I'll give you a perfect example. Darius Williams, the starting cornerback for the Rams, he was with me as an undrafted free agent rookie in Baltimore. And I could just tell from after one practice that this guy has that it factor. He has super quick feet. He's competitive. He's got a great personality. He's got all the physical ability. And for whatever reason, he went undrafted. And I loved him out of all the corners. I don't even know. I can't remember who we drafted that year. But I was like, this kid's going to be better than everyone. I don't think Marlon was in that draft, so I'll exclude him out of there. But so as the time goes on, he was literally, as off-season workouts and training camp, we'd always say, I'd always call him almost, right? Because he was literally a half step away from making a pick six, a half step away from breaking up the ball. And I'm like, once everything slows down for this kid, he's going to be a stud. He ended up going to the Rams practice squad. Then he played sparingly last year with me there. And I was with him every day. When I was watching film, I brought bring him along at night when no one else was there. I told him to come with me because he's just such a great kid. And now look at him. So it's a perfect example of me seeing it firsthand and him exploding this year and playing great for him. I mean, it's not easy to be opposite of an all-pro cornerback, and you're going to get tested a lot, and he's held up to it and has had an outstanding year. So it happens all the time.
Quarterback that Eric was talking about is Taylor Heinicke. He is the the third or the fourth-string quarterback that came in for Washington. Went 26 of 44 for 306 yards through that touchdown Eric was talking about. Also led the team in rushing. 6 carries for 46 yards, got out of the pocket a few times, and he did look very good, very capable. I don't think anybody expected that quarterback and that Washington football team to be with even in 15 of the Buccaneers at that point. So
no doubt.
Let's move on. The next game, Eric, you picked was Baltimore -3.5. Baltimore covered, ended up winning by 7. Against Tennessee. That actually shocked me. What'd you see from Baltimore?
Well, you knew with Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams back healthy in their front seven, I think that was most important when you're playing a team like the Titans, even more so than how Lamar was going to play in offensively, because those two guys are the interior. They keep that defense stable, and with Judon and our edges with Wolf, I mean, the interior without those two guys is a hole. Without, you know, our linebackers aren't very big, so getting those guys back showed how important Big Baby is. That's Brandon Williams and Calais. I mean, they to shut down their offense running the ball, you knew they were going to do that. You knew Wink and their staff with the way the last two games have gone and the whole pregame logo stomp, you knew that they weren't going to get pushed around. You don't push around the Ravens. You don't big boy the Ravens. And it was nice to see. They started off a little scatterbrained out there. Lamar throwing a horrible pick, but he settled in. And they still, I mean, they didn't play that well on offense, but they got the job done. And like I said, they got a chance. Buffalo's a tall task, but I like the matchup, and I think they can get it done.
Well, you also hit it on the head. You said you wanted, you know, more than 15 carries from Lamar. He had 16 carries, 136 yards, and a score.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Eric, as a guy that played safety, you can answer this better than anybody. When he hits that open field on that touchdown run, there's not a lot. Yeah. There's not a lot defenders can do to stop that.
No, I mean, watching that player was eerie similar to my last, I think it was my last year in San Diego or my second to last year. We were playing at Frisco. It was a Saturday night game, and Colin Kaepernick, we were backed up. We had him backed up maybe inside the 20, maybe inside the 30, and we had great coverage, and he broke up the middle, and I settled my feet, and he didn't even juke me. He just basically kept the speed and ran around me. And he went 70 on me, and there's nothing I could do. And Lamar is faster and quicker than him. So when Kevin Byard came up and settled, you just can't do that because those guys they're not going to stop their feet. They're just going to continue their speed and get around you. And at that point, learning from that, you just take your shot and hope your teammates, you hope he stumbles or you hope he stops his momentum, because that's the only way you're going to get him in the open field. But it was, I've been there, done that, failed miserably, and I think we won that game eventually. I forced a fumble in overtime, which made me feel a little bit better than getting made fool of national television. But it's a tall task, man. But that's what makes him great. We've been talking about that, and I think he's finally realized, and he talked about it in his press conference, that early on in the year he was thinking too much. He was trying to go through all the progressions and do what quarterbacks do. It's like, just be confident and be aggressive. And that's what he said, give the defense whatever the defense gives me. If they're going to take my first read away, second read, then I'm going to run, and I'm going to make plays. And, man, he's really turned that six wins in a row. That they're one of the hottest teams right now, and I wouldn't want to play him.
Well, the other line that we were all a bit concerned about, it seemed like the Saints getting as a 10-point favorite, felt like that might be a lot and might be a bit too much. Hans and I, in our infinite lack of wisdom, said, no, the Bears can cover the 10. Eric was like, no, Saints will cover. They'll be fine. And sure enough, 21-9 is the final as Drew Brees and the Saints move on to the next round. Your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears' defense is good, so you knew they weren't going to put up 35 points. But the Bears, against that Saints defense, I mean, people forget, when the Saints are humming on defense, they're a top-five unit in the league. And it was going to be tough sledding for them. And any high-IQ football mind would understand that. So, I understand that. I understand why I was the only one that picked that.
Knocked it out of the park by 2 points, Eric. You got it, man. Oh, man.
And then the other one that I think all of us just kind of shook our head at, you took the Browns as a 6-point underdog, and not only did the Browns cover, they won by 11, 48-37. It was 28-0 right out of the break.
Oh, gosh.
This Browns team, I mean, they weren't having it. After Juju ran his mouth a little bit, these guys were fired up. They didn't have their coach. They didn't have a few other players. It didn't matter, Eric. They just cruised.
Yeah, guys. As the guy off the street's quarterback that came in and played well for Washington, I mean, no one knew that Cleveland was going to play like that and come out. I mean, it was just unfortunate because Pittsburgh, after that first quarter, I mean – you know, you have to air it out at that point. You have no other choice. But they did outscore them 38-20 after that. But you get down 28-0 in the first quarter. I mean, literally the game is over. Unless you are the Bills and who did Frank Wright come back with?
The Bills win it against the Oilers.
Oilers. I mean, you're talking about historic comebacks that you never see. And it was just unfortunate, man. Like I thought the last game that Big Ben, they came back in the second half, played well. I thought that was going to be a turning point for them, but it just never clicked. It never clicked. Mid-season they started struggling. They squeaked by some games, and I think the losing Bud Dupree opposite of Watt really hurt their defense, and once he went down, that defense was never the same, and they held him in a lot of games. So Cleveland earned it, man, and it just shows, like, I don't quite understand why you want to give the other team any added motivation. I mean, you're always going to want to play good, but it's just when you say things that personally attack another team or another player, it's just like, man, like, what are you doing? But you reap what you sow. They got blasted. They're going to have to live with that. And Cleveland and all those guys have the right to say whatever they want, because when it came down to it, they beat them when it mattered most. So applaud them. They got to – I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do against the Chiefs. But it's pretty exciting for the city of Cleveland and those guys. They got a lot of good players, great coach. Happy for Baker. It's a proud moment for them.
Eric, did you ever say anything in the public that you immediately regretted?
No, I've never regretted anything I've said, so.
Do you think Juju regrets it?
I think I mean, it's hard to say. Like, Juju's a really like bright personality. Everyone loves him. He's always like the heart of the party. So I don't know. He probably at this point he probably doesn't care. He's probably off in Mexico somewhere, like going through that season of all these restrictions and stuff. The guys probably aren't thinking about it, but I think I know moving forward, he'll probably think twice about doing stuff that may have a detriment to your team or you personally moving forward.
It just talking about maybe having some regrets on things you say. I remember sitting in that media room after on those Monday press conferences at the University of Utah, and then, you know, Urban would say his piece and then there'd be breakouts with players. And I remember talking to Bo Nagihe right before the BYU game. And and I'm like, are you excited to play BYU? And BYU was even chirping a little bit before the 04 game. And I said, are you excited to play these guys? They seem pretty confident. He's like, I can't wait. And he starts to go. And Urban just walks behind him and puts his hand on his shoulder. And then all of a sudden he says, but we respect them. They're a good team, and we look forward to playing them on Saturday.
Yeah. The ingrained DNA answer from all coaches that brainwash their players because they don't want them to say or think or outside the whatever's being preached. It's wild. I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, it does put the focus back on your team, right? You're not worried about them. You're not focused on them. You respect your opponent, but we're focused on us. And it just kind of keeps the center focus and mind frame of everyone on the team that you don't need to be talking about anybody else. Just focus on yourself. And I like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I want people and players to think for themselves, but I also don't want to take away from the team and the ultimate goal, which is winning the game.
Well, we got a lot to get to. Segment number one in the books with Eric Weddle. We'll take a look at the games coming up this weekend in the divisional round. Also, some thoughts on Urban Meyer and perhaps making the jump to the NFL as we continue on with Eric Weddle next right here on the Zone Sports Network. Melissa's with us. We're live here at Sound Sleep Medical. Call right now, 801-285-9731. Schedule your free sleep consultation. See where you're at. If you're dealing with sleep apnea, you don't have to deal with the CPAP machine, Melissa.
You do not. You don't have to treat sleep apnea or snoring with a CPAP. Instead, at Sound Sleep Medical, we do a custom-made oral appliance. It's like a mouth guard, simply that you wear it at night. It stabilizes your lower jaw, keeps your oxygen levels up. And you know, right now, Scotty, it's January. It's a kind of a time of New Year's resolutions. And why not resolve to start sleeping better? Because it affects every single aspect of your life.
If you're falling asleep at your cubicle at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're waking up with headaches, you just feel drowsy all day long. These are all symptoms of sleep apnea. And if your wife's complaining about your snoring, it's probably time to get it taken care of.
Absolutely. And you know, I had an athlete come to see me not too long ago. They found that they weren't recovering from their workouts as quickly as they thought they should be. And sure enough, he was fit as can be.
Yeah.
But he did one of our easy home sleep studies, found out he had some mild sleep apnea going on, treats it with the oral appliance, and now he's doing so much better.
I mean, there's some misconceptions out there on what a person with sleep apnea may look like. I mean, you've seen people of all fitness levels, whether they're a guy that never gets off their couch to a person that's a high-level athlete, and they can all suffer from it.
Absolutely. That was the case with this guy. He was as fit as can be, but had sleep apnea. And the oral appliance is the easiest way to fix it. There's no masks or tubes or anything.
First 50 callers right now to schedule that free sleep consultation. Absolutely free. No pressure. You'll be entered to win a drawing for that Better Sleep Basket, which includes the Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card. But you got to call right now, 801-285-9731, 801-285-9731, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Brett McMurphy, national college football writer and insider for Stadium Network. The way too early top 25s came out. You had Utah at number 11. And curious what you saw in Utah that you have your expectation for them set so high.
I don't think you can penalize Utah or any of the Pac-12 teams based on last season. And if they had played a full season, I think people would look at them totally different coming into this year. And there's a friend of mine that works for the Action Network. He let me see his power ratings, and I don't remember specifically where he had Utah, but I believe they were no lower than like 13th or 14th in his power rating. So I think you'll see Utah in a lot of top 15, top 20s when his preseason rankings start coming out. Now, it's one thing to start there, and it's another thing to end there, but obviously it's a good jumping off point.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Taking you inside the huddle, this is your NFL preview show with NFL legend Eric Weddle, presented by Cypress Credit Union with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, but more importantly, Eric Weddle, kind enough to join us as we continue on with your NFL preview show, kicking off the divisional round of playoffs coming up this weekend. Eric, we'll get to the games coming up here in a moment, but former coach of yours starting to make some headlines. It does appear that Urban Meyer may be on his way to the NFL. What do you think about him, and do you think that he'll be successful at the next level?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's good for the NFL. It's good for Coach Meyer and his family. Another challenge. It all depends on who's running the offense and defense, quite honestly. He'll do great to be a mentor and lead the team and do all those things the head coach does. But if your offensive defense coordinator don't match up with your players, it's not going to matter. So, it'll be interesting who his hires are for that if he does get the job, and how much time they're going to give him. And it's not going to be an easy fix, regardless of you get Trevor or not. It's not like he's going to make you a playoff team. It's going to take a couple years to rebuild this team. And, I think they got a bunch of picks to over the next couple years with the Jalen Ramsey trade and whatnot. So, yeah, I think it's exciting. I think we're all have somewhat vested in Coach Meyer because he was at the U for a couple of years and, started the process of bringing Utah back on the map, and then Coach Witt taking it over and taking it even higher than it was. So we'll see what happens.
There's been some rumors and talk that potentially Morgan Scully would leave the University of Utah to go coach with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, maybe even as a coordinating setting. And Eric, I've kind of gone down a couple of avenues trying to figure out if that's just completely false and if it's a rumor. And nobody has shut the door on it. And these are people that would be somewhat close to it. What would you think if Morgan Scully left the college game and transitioned to the NFL as a coordinator?
Man, that is like bombshell news. Like, I had no inclination like that even was a thought. So hearing that is awesome. Would he do great? He would do amazing. Look what he's done at the college ranks. And I put it like this: you're limited in a sense of what you can do and how much time you can have. Just think of what he can do with unlimited time and unlimited resources. Man, holy smokes, that would be so sweet. But I don't know. I just shot him a text to see if he'll respond back. He usually texts me back instantly, so because I gotta know these things. But I know he has aspirations to be a head coach. I know that is a huge goal of his. He's mapped out, even 10, 12 years ago when we would talk, what his goals are, how is he going to get there. And, you know, so I don't know. I don't know going the NFL route and then becoming a head coach that way, if that's what he wants. I know he loves the kids, and he does a great deal with them and mentoring them and helping them. And then, you know, you get in the league, it's a whole different mindset. I mean, it's not that at all. It's what can you do for me? How can I help you be the best player? I really don't care what's going on outside this building. It's what, you know, you're going to be able to play for me on Sunday. And that's just the reality of it. So I don't know, but he will do an amazing job. There's no doubt in my mind he would do great at that level.
Well, you know, Hans and I were just talking about this in the previous hour, and you hit on something, because you probably, as a head coach, you can't use the same motivation tactics that you used in college at the NFL level. What does it take to motivate an NFL player that may not be, you know, that, you know, because college guys, they want to say pride for your university and pride and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
The NFL, it's more like, I just want to get paid and I want to win some games. Like, how do you motivate an NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I would say the biggest difference is, you know, when you can manipulate and force different things on college kids because they have no other answer. They have no other choice, right? Like, they're on scholarship. You have to do whatever is being told. If not, then they'll, you know, just make it a scene and kick you off or revoke your scholarship. So all those little things that is preached on, and all like the mental toughness and all this other stuff, like, it's not going to fly in the NFL. Like, you know, you start getting into those conversations with grown men, they're going to just turn their head or put on their headphones or something, because it's not relevant. Like, I don't need to be taught mental toughness. I don't need to be told that this and this. Like, no, this is grown men. Like, I play for my family. I want to be great. Like, but that's not always the motivation for some people. So I think the biggest thing that Coach Meyer will have to transition to is just trying to bring everybody together for an ultimate goal, and trying to bridge the gap of, you have 53 some odd guys. You want to bridge the gap that 45, 40 all play for each other, all play for the team. And those 5 to 8 guys that are selfish, that, you know, think about themselves, that don't work hard, you just have to manage those because they don't take over your whole team. You know, that's where the battle will happen, because you won't have a commitment for everybody. You won't have guys that are early to meetings that will go to practice and practice hard and give it all they got. Like, that's just not reality. I mean, guys will miss because they don't want to practice. Guys will miss workouts because they don't want to work out. And are you going to find them? Are you not? What's your stance going to be on those issues? If they're late for a meeting, do you let it slide once? Do you not let it slide at all? If it's your star player, how are you going to treat him compared to everybody else? Like, that's going to be the difference for Coach Meyer, because you're not going to treat, you know, you hope your star player is a guy that falls in line and does everything right, because he is the extension of you as a head coach. But sometimes that's not the case. So how is that relationship going to be? Because if you damage that relationship, the coach is going to be gone before the star player.
Eric, I'm just going to put you on warning. You've got 20 minutes to either confirm or deny the Morgan Scully rumors. And if you can't confirm it or deny it, then we're just going to assume that he didn't answer back, which tells me that there is some substantial evidence behind him possibly leaving.
Yeah, I will just say this. If he doesn't text me back within the end of this show, I don't want to put a stance like that, like never coaching with him, because I know that's been something that he wants since the minute he became a coach. But I will say this, that if I don't get a text back, then I'm obviously not high on his totem pole of people to return texts back. And second, it means that I will never be an Adam Schefter type in this world.
I think it. I think if you don't get a text back, it means he is leaving, but wants to wait till you're done with the show, so that you don't announce it during the show.
Well, if he doesn't, if he doesn't text me back, he's probably has zero care in the world that I'm doing a radio show. And two, he knows me enough that if he did say one way or the other, I probably would wait till the following week to say anything because, you know, I am a very loyal and trustworthy friend, and loyalty is number one factor. Once you cross that line, you're dead to me. So he knows that. So I don't know. I don't know. I will say this. If he does text me back, I will say if he does, but I will not indulge what is being said.
That's fair. That's fair.
We could appreciate that.
All right, one final segment. We're going to go through all the games coming up over the divisional weekend, get your thoughts on these, and pick against the spread so you can embarrass us all again. We'll do that next. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Number one.
Make us your number one preset.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network. Thirteen NFL seasons, six Pro Bowls, and one radio show. This is your NFL preview show with Eric Weddle, presented by Cypress Credit Union with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, four games coming up this weekend. It is your NFL divisional round. And, Eric, before we get started, do you like the expanded playoffs? Do you like the way it's set up, and would you suggest they go that way going forward?
I loved it as a fan. It was awesome to watch games all day Saturday, and then I only watched Sunday morning. I just watched the Ravens game. I didn't get to catch it, I guess. I had family stuff going on. But all day Saturday, it was great games, and it was – for the fan, it was awesome. It kind of takes a little bit away of the magic of making the playoffs because you get add another team in there. But shoot, great for the fans, great for the game.
Do you think it gives the number one seed too much advantage that they're the only ones that get that bye instead of the first top two seeds getting a bye?
No, I mean they earned it, and.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I don't know that it would be great to look at this stat, but just the one or two seeds with a bye, what is their record in the division, their divisional round? Because I know we were it once and we lost first round, you know, not the wild card round, but the divisional round for the Chargers. So, and I know other teams have done it too. Usually, it's a cakewalk. I mean, you win one game and you're in the championship game. So. I don't know. It's all a rhythm type game, but if you're quarterback and you got a veteran laden team, it could be a huge advantage just to get healthy at the right time. So we'll see. But I will tell you this: Morgan did text him back, so I do feel important, and we'll see what happens.
Nice.
Would you like to give us any indicators, one way or the other?
I will say this: Morgan is destined for greatness at whatever he does. So,
oh, well done.
Blink twice if he's leaving. So, Eric, we got to jump into this because we got four games we've got to get through. The Rams last week, five sacks, another 10 hits on that Seattle Seahawk offense. I mean, they were just brutal. And taking on a Green Bay team. Green Bay, 6.5-point favorite. Where are you starting on this?
Uh, You know what? It's supposed to be cold. I know A-Rod has played a lot of cold games, snowy games. I just look at the matchups, right? You look at the matchups, off their offense versus the Rams defense, and you know Jalen's gonna limit Davante Adams, right? And you know, he'll get some catches, but he's not gonna wreck the game. And that's the great thing about having a guy like Jalen out there on your defense. And I just look at the rest of their receiving corps, and Aaron Jones is a problem out of the backfield, but I just think it's a huge advantage for the Rams secondary against the rest of their wide receivers. So it's going to be tough sledding for them to just walk all over the Rams, and I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball against them. I mean, we're talking about the number one defense in the league, and they're playing like it. And Aaron Donald's healthy, and, you know, Bakhtiari going down is a huge, huge disadvantage for the Packers going into this game for their pass protection. So I envision that just a drag-it-out, tight game. You know, he's not going to be sitting back there. He's going to get the ball quick, but just he's got a guy with 6-7-man protection majority of the game to hold up against this pass rush that's coming on at the right time. And it's going to be sticky coverage in the back end. So I'm taking the Rams with the points. 6.5 is a lot of points. I am a little nervous about the quarterback situation. I'm a little nervous with the weather, being able to throw the ball, but 6.5 is a lot of points. If it was a clear day, normal in the dome, I'd probably take the Packers, but I'm taking the points in this game.
Yeah, give me the Rams.
And I'm not going to be making my picks public this time. I'm going to have
to. So basically, no. Hands is out. I mean, is it even worth him making picks at this point?
Yes, in fact, Scotty and I were just doing the math on this. I still have 7 opportunities.
If you go – Let's just say if Hands goes perfect the rest of the way and, Eric, you miss every game the rest of the way, then Hands has a shot.
I've got a shot.
Okay.
A slim shot. Okay.
So you actually have 0 chance.
I do want to mention this. I made all of my picks before, and Scotty's looking at them. I made them before, so everybody knows that I'm not just following Eric Weddle's coattails.
All right.
I'm an independent thinker.
Who are you picking?
I had the Rams plus 6.5. And, Scotty, you can confirm.
Right.
I have my picks made.
Great. Yep. I like it. Okay, you guys pick the next game.
Buffalo, are they a 2.5-point favorite?
2.5-point favorite.
2.5.
You know what? I'm going to – just so that people don't think that we're just because of your great week you had last week, I don't think you're going to go this direction anyway, but I'm going to say I'm going to take Buffalo – and I'll even take the 2.5 points too.
They're giving the Ravens 2.
Yep.
2.5. Okay.
I took the Ravens plus 2.5. I think I think Lamar has found that mojo.
Yeah.
That magic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that the number that you talked about last week or 2 weeks ago about giving it to Lamar and letting him rush, I mean, man, he was spectacular with 140 yards. So I'm gonna say Baltimore.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean, they definitely have the advantage. Allen being able to throw the ball, especially outside the pocket. I mean, he was incredible outside the pocket last week. But I just keep going back to the fact that you had the Colts with Phillip Rivers, who I love. But their offense is not dynamic. They are in a sense. I don't want to disrespect them that much, but they put up 500 yards on this defense, and they should have lost, quite frankly. They got outplayed in all phases. So I know we're going to have a plan for Stephon Diggs. I know that for a fact, and I know they're going to take Beasley away on third down. So you're telling me our defense versus their third wide receiver with our pressure package. He's struggled with us. They played 2 years ago. I'm taking Baltimore.
There you go.
You guys probably knew that. and I'm taking +2. It's going to be a tight game, a lot like the Rams game with the weather involved. But I think if Lamar just beats Lamar, I mean, that's the difference factor. And easily, as I said, that Josh Allen could do the same thing, and he showed it last week, making plays in just an incredible year. So I think both teams have a shot the way they're playing to beat the Chiefs next round.
Kansas City, a 10-point favorite against the Browns. Can Baker and the Brownies keep this thing close?
I'm taking the Browns in 10 points. I think the Chiefs are going to come out a little sluggish, a little slow, maybe be down, and then they'll come back and win. But 10 points is a lot. And like we said last week, the Browns are a good team, and they're playing like that. They're confident, a lot like the Ravens last week getting their first playoff win after the last couple years of failures. I think they're going to play loose, a lot like the Browns. And, you know, they got a lot of talented players. So I don't pick them to win, but I think they'll keep it within 10.
Well, I don't think this game starts out with a center snapping it over the top of his quarterback.
No doubt. Giving up
a quick 7 points. I can't expect Kansas City to do that. I am going to take Kansas City to cover the 10.
Respect.
I want to take the Browns so bad. Give me the Browns. Let's go.
Oh, you switched your pick.
No,
you
no.
It, didn't you?
No.
You don't lie to me. Do not lie. I can tell by the way you answered that. You were thinking Chiefs, or you had Chiefs written down. That's okay.
No,
that's
I'm
okay.
A, yeah.
Come on board.
Let's go.
Come on board.
Now, I got to admit, I want the Browns to win. I really want them to win because I think it's a fun story.
No, they're not going to win. Yeah, they're not going to.
But Nick Chubb was great out of the backfield. Had 90 yards of receiving and 80 yards of rushing last week. And I'd love to see Chubb do his thing. I think Cleveland got banged up front. Didn't they lose
a little bit, yeah,
an offensive lineman or two last week? So I'm a little bit worried about that. But I've got Kansas City minus the 10. All right, final one.
The Geriatric Bowl, New Orleans against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. New Orleans, a 3-point favorite over Tampa Bay. Hans, why don't you bat lead off on this one?
Well, I picked Tampa Bay to win the whole thing. I've got to stay on it now. 3 points, that if Tampa Bay wins, it's going to be at least a 3, and I'll get a push here. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay. I'm going to stick with my pick and go Tampa Bay +3.
I think I'm on board with you on that one. Give me Tampa Bay +3.
Eric?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I like the way the Bucs are playing. I just go back to, regardless of how great the Saints are and how better they play, which they have against the Bucs twice this year, it is extremely difficult to beat a team 3 times in a row. In one season. So that is the mere fact I'm picking the Bucs, and I think they're playing at a high level right now. So The season ends, the career ends for Drew Brees this Sunday.
Wow.
Wow. Oh. If the Bucs lose, can you say the same about Tom Brady?
No, he's back. He's for sure playing, and they'll be even better than they were this year.
Do you think we saw the last games of Ben Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers?
Gosh, I hope Philip doesn't go out like that. He played an outstanding game, and I was pulling so hard for him to just change the narrative, right? Like, everyone thinks of Philip as he throws a lot of touchdowns, but when the crunch time happens, he makes a mistake or throws a pick. And, man, that he made some incredible throws and – really, I mean, they couldn't stop him. The third and fourth quarter, I mean, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It was crazy. And it was like, where's that offense been all game? But, you know, it's going to be tough. I think with the decision with Philly firing Peterson because he didn't see Wentz as the future and the owner basically firing him over that, you know, Wentz isn't going anywhere. And I thought that would be the one possibility where they move on from Phil if they could get Wentz in a trade or something, but I don't see that happening. And I think it would be great if they drafted a kid. I know they drafted Eason. I don't know if he's the guy if they draft a guy in the first, second round and let him sit behind Phillip one more year. I think he's got one more year in him. I think I don't think he wants to go out like that. But you never know. I mean, maybe time. I know Gunner is still 2 years away from high school, and that's his oldest son. He's in sixth grade right now, and next year will be seventh grade, so he'd be able to be a high school coach for 1 year before his son gets there. So I think it lines up for one more season. Big Ben, that's a whole different aspect with his cap number, almost $42 million. You know, I'm very close with Ben, and I know he's asked about my retirement when I knew and stuff. So I know it's been on his mind for the last few years. But I know him as a competitor. I just don't know. I don't know if Pittsburgh even wants him back at that number. So they're going to have to extend him. Is he going to take a pay cut? Like, I don't know. That's a whole different bag of apples. But I would hope that he comes back and finishes it on his note, going out in his style. But you could say in a sense that he went down firing on all cylinders, throwing 70 times and throwing for 500. What a way to go out. But I know he'd probably want to go out in a better tune in his last game, playing his best.
Well, hey, we can't wait to catch up with you next week and talk about some AFC and NFC championship games. Good luck on the picks. Not that you need it. And we'll chat with you coming up next week.
Hey, wishing you some bad luck, Eric.
Don't need it, man. Don't need it. Never happens.
Hey, you're the best.
Thanks, yeah. Eric.
See you guys.
Eric Weddle right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Melissa's been hanging out here way too long listening to Eric Weddle, former Ute great, NFL legend as well. And if we have anything to say about it, hopefully wearing a gold jacket someday.
We will be pushing very hard to get that to happen, if we can do anything about it.
801-285-9731. That's the number to call for Sound Sleep Medical. Schedule one of those free consultations. You're offering this consultation absolutely for free to see if people have sleep apnea.
It is free. There's no risk. There's no obligation. You just need to call the number, schedule a free appointment in one of our six offices, come in, and let us talk to you about how you're sleeping.
It's that simple. And if you do have sleep apnea, and remember, this is an at-home test too. You're not in a lab, you're not in a hospital or anything like that. It's an at-home test. And if you do have sleep apnea, you don't need a CPAP machine.
You really don't. You know, I saw a patient just a couple of weeks ago. He was a dad. Obviously, he was an employee. He struggled to get up in the morning. Then he had to go throughout his work day. When he got home from work, he had no energy to engage with his family. He just wanted to crash. He just wanted to go to bed. And that's how he was living his life.
Yeah.
Took our simple test, and sure enough, he had some sleep apnea going on. Treat it with the oral appliance, and now guess what? Much easier to get up in the morning, survive your work day, come home, and actually get to be a dad, a husband, engage with your family. It really changed his life.
801-285-9731. Other thing, we haven't talked about this. You've got six locations across the Wasatch Front, too.
Yeah, we do. Ogden, Layton, Murray, Sandy, American Fork, Provo, hopefully one close and convenient for you. Come in and see us. It's absolutely safe. You know, we work with the mouth. So things like masks, gloves, medical-grade sanitation, it's not new to us. But, of course, we're doing even more to make sure everybody's safe. And it will likely be a private consultation. You'll be the only one in the office at the time.
801-285-9731. Remember, the first 50 people to schedule that absolutely free sleep consultation be entered to win a drawing for a Better Sleep basket. That includes a Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card. It's really simple. Just make that phone call, 801-285-9731, right here on the Zone Sports Network.